This week I was talking with somebody. We actually were talking about death, and he was telling me that he had been wondering what happens after you die. If you come back as a spirit, what's going to go on? And he proceeded to tell me something that his father had told him. No one has ever come back from the graveyard to tell us what happens. As a matter of fact, somebody has come back to tell us what happened. 2,000 years ago, someone returned from the dead. God, Jesus, rose from the dead. Jesus is God who eternally existed. Jesus is God who became man. He lived a normal human life and died on the cross. Yesterday I saw a news headline that said, Jesus wasn't the only man to be crucified. That's exactly right. Thousands of people were crucified during the reign of the Roman Empire. Christianity does not claim that Jesus is the only one to be crucified. Christianity claims that Jesus is God the Son who was crucified, buried, and rose again. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He lives today and is alive forever. And it is the resurrection of Jesus that is the claim of Christianity, which sets it apart from all other religions. As it says in 1 Corinthians, if there is no resurrection, this faith we profess is empty. The resurrection is God's authentication. It is the full and final proof that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. The resurrection is the confirmation to us that all God's promises in salvation are true and will be fulfilled. And what Paul says here in the book of Colossians, as he is telling us over and over again that Christ is our fully sufficient Savior. We need nothing else. There is nothing else to add to our salvation because Christ is enough. What Paul says is Christ died for our sin. We saw that in chapter 1. We saw it again in chapter 2. But Paul declares not only that Christ died for our sin, he speaks of Christ as one who is living. So even when he was writing to the Colossians in roughly 60 AD, 30 years after the death of Jesus, he is telling the Colossian believers not just that Christ died, but that Christ is living. And you go through the New Testament, and every single one of the New Testament writers wrote as if Jesus was alive at the time of their writing. They all affirm that he died. Every one of them says that Jesus died. And every one of them speaks of him as presently living. And what Paul has described in Colossians is the fullness of Jesus. He is fully God who created all things by his power. He is full Savior who saves us entirely. He is to be preeminent, supreme over the church. And we see his fullness. Paul illustrates it in a number of ways. He shows us the fullness of Christ by his rule over death. Verse 18 of chapter 1, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That simple little phrase there, that he is the firstborn from the dead. This supremacy of Christ is because he has conquered death. It's just that simple. He has conquered death. He is chief. You may remember when we went through this a couple months back. The term firstborn describes his position and his authority. It's not a statement of time that he is first in order, first in sequence, but rather a statement of importance. He is first in rule, in authority. He is captain. He is chief over death. He holds this position because he rose from the dead. Because he alone is God who rose from the dead. And really, it's just that simple. If we go to the book of Revelation, the first chapter, Jesus appears there to the apostle John. And the glory of Christ is revealed to the apostle. And Jesus tells John some of the many glorious titles. But in Revelation, he also says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. We have the death and the resurrection of Christ. And behold, I have the keys of hell and of death. A statement, again, of authority. As the holder of the keys of death, he has all authority over it. He opens and closes the doors of death. Death no longer holds sway over creation or our life. Death does not sit on the throne. Death is an inescapable reality. We understand that. But death is not supreme. Christ is. Death does not determine the reality of our salvation. Christ does. Death does not shape our life. Death does not determine our destiny. It is all in Jesus. He is fully sufficient for all of your salvation because he rules over death. And it is throughout from the rest of the book of Colossians that Paul is assuming Jesus is alive. And this truth of the resurrection is essential. It is foundational to Christianity, to the church, and to our own Christian lives. Because what he says now in chapter 2, skip down to verses 12 and 13 of Colossians 2. There it says that we are risen with Jesus. Verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Jesus' death and resurrection is the price of our salvation. It is what has purchased our salvation. It is also the picture of our transformation. We see in Christ's death and resurrection a picture of what as well does happen to us in salvation, that we were dead in sins and we are risen again in a new life in Christ. It is also the promise of our resurrection, that we ourselves will be restored and brought fully to life in him. The resurrection of Jesus secures and assures you of your life in Christ, that you are now risen with him. It doesn't say this will be. You will be risen with him, or that you may be risen with him, but rather that we who have believed in Christ are risen with him. We are alive in Christ because Christ is alive. I mean, it really, that's all of the argument centers around that. We are alive in Christ because Christ is raised from the dead, and that is accomplished by the power of God, the working of God, who it says there, who raised him from the dead. And then in verse 13, the resurrection, Jesus' victory over sin and death is made clear. It says that we are quickened together with him. Verse 14, it tells us how he has made us alive by taking away our sin, putting it on himself. In verse 15, he says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus triumphed over our spiritual enemies. The resurrection is that declaration of his victory. And if you may remember, a few weeks ago we were in this passage, we talked about the Roman victory parade, the triumphal march, in which the defeated foes would be marched into the city of Rome to the glory of the empire, to the shame of the conquered. And when Jesus rose from the dead, his triumph was made plain, that the resurrection is that triumphal march into the world, that death, hell, and Satan were locked in chains and paraded before the eyes of all so that they would see these are defeated enemies. They have been rendered powerless. Hebrews tells us, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We are naturally enslaved to sin, enslaved to death. We are in bondage. And death is a terrifying captor. And it is through the death of Christ that we are set free from that bondage. Through the death of Christ, Satan is defeated. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when God has come down and confronted Adam and Eve and their sin, and he curses the serpent, and he curses Satan, saying that that Satan would be crushed by the deliverer who was to come. And it was through death that Christ has crushed Satan, and we are no longer in bondage to death. If you are the child of God, we look at death, it's still an enemy. But we look at death and we say that the sting of death has been removed, because now we are not leaving this life to go, we don't know where. We're not leaving and looking to a place in which we dread or fearing the uncertainty. But as believers, we look at death and we know that we walk out of this world and we step immediately into the presence of our Father and our Savior. And so that we have a longing in our death, that we look forward to the presence of our Savior. The sting of death is removed. And it is through the resurrection that Jesus shows his conquest over death. That is the great promise of 1 Corinthians 15. "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The strength of sin is the strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Colossians tells us is that Christ is alive and he has defeated death. We look at it as the entrance into eternal joy. It is the entrance into the presence of our loving Father, into the arms of our gracious Savior. We need fear no evil when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because Jesus has already walked that valley and has defeated that gigantic foe. And because of the resurrection, our life is transformed. We're not just talking about what's going to happen someday in the future, though all of that that I've said is gloriously true. Because of the death of Jesus, our life today must be different. Skip down to verse 20 of chapter 2. It says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," and he goes on, and then verse 1 of chapter 3, "if ye then be risen with Christ." He says, you are dead. If you're the child of God, if you have believed in Christ to salvation, you are dead to the rituals, the religion, the hopeless worship of this world. And, verse 1 of chapter 3, you are risen with Christ. We are currently alive in Him. So just as Christ has risen, He is currently seated at the right hand of God. God has highly exalted Him. As Peter says, that Christ has gone into the heavens, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Jesus has risen. Christianity is no dead religion. It is the worship of a living Savior. And Jesus is not just risen in some mystical sense, in which his spirit ascended to heaven. Certainly it is not just, well, he lives on in our hearts kind of stuff. But Jesus rose from the dead in the flesh. The same physical body that hung on the cross is the same body that left the tomb. The same flesh which ate the Last Supper with the disciples is the same flesh that ate fish with them by the Sea of Galilee a couple weeks later. He was then carried bodily into heaven. He did not die again, but He ascended up into heaven. And Hebrews tells us that wherefore He is also able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is now in heaven, living. And it is Christ's presence in heaven that secures and maintains your life with God. Verse 4 of chapter 3 says, "For Christ, when Christ, who is our life?" Verse 3 says, "You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Our life in Christ is held secure in heaven. Our eternal life is held secure in heaven. Our earthly life is held secure by Christ in heaven. And it is that which transforms our present reality, because my life is not here. It's just that simple. My life is not here. These things are fine. There are many wonderful things which we enjoy in this life. But these are not my hopes. These are not my longings. These are not my destiny. These do not determine me or my future. These are temporary, passing things. My life, and if you are the child of God, your life is in heaven, is in Christ with God. And that is why Paul says, set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above. We are risen. We are risen to a new life in Christ. As he's going to go on to say in chapter 3, we are risen to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We are risen to put off the old sin nature. We are risen to put on Christ's likeness. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, we are risen in Him to live transformed lives. We are risen in Him to live in victory over sin and in holiness to His glory. The resurrection of Christ is not something that just we remember and celebrate on Easter Sunday. It's not just something that we remember and we commemorate every Sunday when we gather. It is something that should transform our daily life because we recognize that this is not our life. Our life is in Christ who is risen. And then the last thing I want to mention is this resurrection is the assurance that Jesus is returning. Colossians 3:4 says, also when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. This promise is offered over and over and over again to the church. In John 14, the evening before His death, Jesus told His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He had proclaimed that earlier in His public preaching when He told those in Jerusalem, you shall see the Son of Man, speaking of Himself, you shall see the Son of Man coming in power and glory. When He was questioned by the priest the morning of His crucifixion, He said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. The angels told the disciples this when Jesus ascended to heaven and they stood there gawking. I can understand, but they said, this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. We see this throughout the epistles. Paul says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Peter says that Jesus is the chief shepherd who will appear. And He is the one who is coming to judge the living and the dead. John told the believers, we know that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Even the little epistle of Jude mentions the return of Jesus when it says, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. Every writer of the New Testament, every single one specifically says, Jesus will return. We are longing for, looking for what Titus calls, the book of Titus calls that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if there is no resurrection, there is no second coming. There is no return. There is no hope. There is no promise. But because Jesus rose from the dead, because Jesus is alive, we have this absolute assurance, the glorious confidence that He is returning. And when He returns, we will be with Him in glory. This is our hope. This is why, in my estimation, Easter should be considered the greatest holiday of the year. Because everything we believe hinges on this truth. What do we do with it? If you're the child of God, absolutely rejoice and celebrate. You have great cause for joy. We serve a living Savior. He does rule. He is interceding for you. He has and does secure your salvation. He is faithful to keep all of His promises. He is returning. Let us be glad. Jesus is risen. But I would say as well, if you've not received Him, there's cause to be deeply concerned. Because when Christ returns, He's also going to return in judgment. He is going to return and He's going to examine all men, and those who have not received Him will be cast out. As Colossians has said so powerfully, and I know I've just skimmed it this morning, but Jesus is your entire salvation. He purchased it by His death on the cross, as He says that He's made peace through the blood of His cross, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy in His sight. The promise of the resurrection is that Jesus is your full salvation. There's nothing for you to do, nothing for you to add, nothing left but to receive. And the resurrection of Christ cries out to all people. It says, believe Christ, receive Him, trust Him as your full salvation. And if you're here this morning and you are trusting in some other thing or you're hoping in some other means, I invite you, I plead with you, let go of all of that and trust only in Christ. And lastly, I would say very briefly, to because Jesus is risen, the things that you do as a child of God, the things you do have eternal value. They change the way we live so that we are willing to give up everything. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, as he's discussing the greatness of the impact of the resurrection on our daily life, Paul says that we can live for Christ, we can deny self, we can go to great sacrifices, even to the sacrificing of our very life, because Jesus has risen. So that everything we do for Him, whether it be teaching a Sunday school class, whether it be raking gravel out of the churchyard, whether it be serving somebody in our neighborhood, whether it be working and maybe being completely unnoticed by others, or whether it be being in a place of importance or notice for Christ, everything we do has eternal value because you know, as 1 Corinthians says, you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because Christ is living, He takes that which we do for Him. He receives it. He makes it worthwhile. Just simply living for heaven is worth it. Your reward is coming. So I invite you today to rejoice. But not just rejoice. Be convicted, be transformed, because Christ is alive.